ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मायं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्र जातं सगुण रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगुणललिता श्रीविशाखावितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगे राधे वृंदवनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिय वांछकल्पतरुभयश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो जनरली व्हेन यू गेट अ स्लॉट टू स्पीक देन there is a particular slot that is known as a graveyard slot. Does anybody know what's the graveyard slot? It's the slot that's right after prasad. Because people have enjoyed prasadam and they're sleepy. And worse than the graveyard prasad is the slot that comes between the devotees and the prasadam. So I have both of them. I have a slot right after breakfast and right before lunch. So I beg your indulgence that we'll try and make it interactive and see where we can go with this very interesting seminar that Maharaj has arranged. So when Maharaj asked me to think about a topic to speak the seminar this weekend, saying yes to Krishna, it was exciting because the topics that Maharaj picks are very practical. Focus is on practicing devotees, and the realizations that we share are from that platform. What works and what does not work as far as our execution of bhakti. So Maharaj says that the topic of the seminar is say yes to Krishna, think about something to speak. And as I was thinking about it, and I said that this is for me. I said, if only I could figure out how not to say no to Krishna, that would help me a lot. And as I was thinking more about it, I realized that there is actually a lot of substance to this realization that as we say yes to Krishna, we also try and figure out how not to say no to Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, this is Adi Leela, right at the beginning, he says, Siddhanta Baliya Chite Nakar Alash Iya Hote Krishna Lage Sudar Dramanas. That Siddhanta Baliya Chite, that one should think about Siddhanta. The various tattvas holistically, from all perspectives. Nakar Alash means do it energetically, and the result is Sudardra Manas, that your mind becomes very strongly attached to Krishna. So those of you who have read the East Upanishad are probably familiar with the 11th mantra, where it is said, vidyam cha yastad vedo bhayam saha, avidyaya mrityum tirthva, vidyaya amritum ashnute. So, vidya cha avidya, one must study knowledge and nations side by side. And the result is that one can transcend mrityum and amrityum. One can transcend the cycle of birth and death. So from a very practical perspective, as we begin our journey to Krishna consciousness, we are given instructions which fall in two general categories. Do this, do not do this. So there are some things that we are asked, we are given as injunctions, and then there are some things that we are given as prohibitions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he quotes this verse from Padma Puran, very famous verse. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of it. Smartavyo satatam Vishnur vismartavyor najato chet sarvavidhi nishedyashur etayoreva kinkara. That one must always think about Krishna and never forget Krishna. Then sarvavidhi nishedyashur, all the rules and regulations that are given to us, etayoreva kinkara, they are subservient to this one realization. So as we meditate on how best to say yes to Krishna, also important for us to meditate how not to say no to him. And if you look at the so the way I want to do this is, I'll give a brief, and not so brief, you know, it's said that, you know, once you give a person a mic, difficult to take away from him. So I'll speak for a little time to give a little bit of understanding. Then we have a short skit that kind of illustrates this, and then after that we'll have some discussion on that. So this is basically setting up the context. So in understanding what exactly does saying yes and saying no to Krishna mean, we can study three verses that are considered to be the Paribhash Sutra as emperor verses in the three aspects of bhakti, sadhana, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. So in the area of sambandh, there is a very famous verse which all of you have heard of, comes in Bhagavad Gita 1866, sarvadharman parityaje mam ekam sharanam braj am tam sarvapapebhyo mokshasyami mahasusha. So Krishna is giving Arjun two instructions. One is Mamekam Sharanam Vraj. So he is asking Arjun to develop spiritual attachments to Krishna. Attachment to the spiritual conception of one's existence. And the second, which is a little bit more implicit, he says Sarvadharman Parityajay. So he is asking Arjun to give up the dharma that is the basis of earth and kaam. So Arjun might say that Krishna, dharma is coming from you. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So this verse is spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yam Dutas in the Ajmal pastime, where dharma is actually coming from Krishna. So Arjun might say that dharma is coming from you, why are you asking me to give it up? And then Krishna would say, I am not asking you, all I am asking you to is give up your swadharma, not your sanatan dharma. So Swadharma is the Varnashram Dharma, and the Sanatana Dharma is the eternal Dharma. And then Arjuna might say, but even the Sanatana Dharma is there for a purpose. In the Padma Purana it is said that dharma eva hato hanti dharmo rakshati rakshita tasma dharma na hantavyo mano dharmo hato vadit. Prabhupada like to quote the second line of this verse a lot. Dharmo rakshate rakshita. So it's dharma eva hato hanti. Eva means only. Dharma can do this. Hato hanti. If you harm dharma, dharma will harm you. And dharma rakshati rakshita. If you protect the principles of dharma, you will be protected by dharma. And tasma dharma na hantavya. So this is actually from Manusmriti. So Manu is saying that therefore don't harm dharma, and dharma will not harm you. So Arjuna might say, but dharma is there for my protection. And this is where Krishna's implicit statement is that develop material detachment. That dharma may give you protection from material miseries. And again, he's talking about Varnashram Dharma over here. But by giving it up in favor of surrendering to Krishna, you are developing the two things, material detachment and spiritual attachment. Another verse which is in the category of Abhideya, this appears in the prayers of Lord Brahma in the 10th canto. So this is after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, and Brahma is with deep realizations, he is praying to Krishna, and he says, and again this is a very famous verse, he says, Tatte nukampam su sumikshamano bunjan evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapurubhir vidadan namaste jivet yo mukti padese daya bhag. That a person who steadily offers obeisances to Krishna while tolerating all the kinds of trials and tribulations that come as part of the material existence, for such a person, liberation becomes his birthright. So we see that's two concepts coming again, tolerance to material trials and tribulations and attachment to the spiritual conception. And the final verse, which is in the category of Prayojan, this is spoken by Sutta Goswami, where he says that dharma, the verse is, signs of old age. I remember the second line. Bhakti, somebody may remember the first line. Bhakti yoga prayojita. Bhakti yoga prayojita jayatyashu vairagyam jnanam cha tad ahitukam. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Good, thank you. Vasudeve Bhagavati. Bhakti yoga prayojita janatyashu vairagyam jnanam cha tadahitukam. So what is the result of bhakti yoga prayojita? What is the result of bhakti yoga? Janatyashu vairagyam. What appears in you is material detachment. And jnanam. Jnanam is the knowledge of Krishna. Prabhupada said, once you understand how great Krishna is, you automatically develop attachment to Krishna. So in the two notions that we are encouraged to cultivate in ourselves as we practice bhakti is spiritual attachment and material detachment. Saying yes to Krishna is spiritual attachment. Material attachment is saying no to Krishna. Material detachment is not saying no to Krishna. Now, in order to get a holistic understanding, we do have to accept that between the two, saying yes to Krishna is sufficient. It is powerful enough to carry us to Krishna. And Krishna says that himself. In Bhagavad Gita, he says that api chet sutaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhu reva samantavya samyak vivasata isa. That api chet sudurachara. So not just a normal durachara, sudurachara. Really, really, he is not just saying no to Krishna, he is shouting no to Krishna. But if he is situated in my devotional service, sadhu reva samantavya. And the reason is because if you think about these two opposing forces, there is saying yes to Krishna, which is pulling us into the spiritual world, and then there is saying no to Krishna, which is pulling us into the material world. At one part there is Maya Devi, and the other side there is Krishna. And Krishna is, of course, infinitely more powerful than Maya Devi or any other force. So when Krishna is pulling there, that itself is sufficient. And Krishna, again, he openly declares his partiality. He says, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshasti na priya ye bhajate te mam bhaktya maiteteshu chapyam. He says, for everybody I am the same. That samoham sarvabhuteshu, I am the same for everybody. But for one who worships me, and he does not just say that I am favorable to such a person. He says, maiteteshu chapyam. That person lives in me and I live in that person. So the amount of intimacy that Krishna has with his devotees is extraordinary. And that is why Krishna's partiality comes in. That even if we were just to say yes to Krishna, that is enough to take us over. But from a practical perspective, it is very strongly recommended. If you look at the scriptures, actually the majority of a very small part of the Vedas speak about bhakti. The bulk of the Vedas speak about the other supporting angas of bhakti, which help one develop material detachment. Whether it is through the process of karma or jnana or astang, all these processes are there to help us develop material detachment. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks about five topics. He speaks about himself, Krishna. He speaks about jiva. He speaks about prakriti. He speaks about kal. And he speaks about karma. So which is the one topic that Krishna speaks the most number of verses? Of the five topics, which is the one topic that Krishna speaks the most verses? Prakriti. Prakriti is the modes of material nature. So, the modes of material nature are the ones that are binding us to the material world. Krishna speaks the most verses about them because he wants us to develop detachment. If you look at the flow in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't really speak about himself until the fourth chapter. But beginning from the second chapter, he starts glorifying material detachment. Especially in the later part of the second chapter where, you know, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prajahati Yada Kaman, Sarvan Partha Manugatan, Atman Eva Atman Tishto, Stita Prakyas, Tidoshate, Dukheshu Anukvina, Sukheshu Vigdispara. So he speaks verse after verse after verse, glorifying material detachment. And then, when he feels that Arjuna has developed enough material detachment, Krishna starts speaking about the spiritual conception of one's practices. Similarly, if you look in the Uddhava Gita that appears in the 11th canto, conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, the earlier part of Uddhava Gita is Krishna reciting so many pastimes that talk about material detachment. He speaks about Pingala, the prostitute, and how the whole day she stands waiting for customers. Nobody comes. And then towards the end of the day, she feels very frustrated. And then out of that, she develops deep material detachment, that why am I predicating my happiness on worldly-minded people? And from that detachment comes spiritual attachment. Similarly, there is a pastime of the Avanti Brahman that Krishna recites to Uddhava, of a Brahman who was very rich but miserly. and he loses his wealth. And when he loses his wealth, he loses his friends and families. They never liked him anyway, but they were tolerating him. But now that he had lost wealth, they began to openly insult him and ignore him. And he becomes very, very agitated. But then out of that deep agitation comes a lot of material detachment. That what is it that I had that I lost? And what is it that I'm lamenting for? And from that comes his spiritual attachment. Similarly, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a pastime that I'm sure all of you have heard about, of Maharaj Chitraketu. That he was the emperor of the world, and he had 10 million wives. And he was potent, his wives were fertile, but he had no children. So once Angira Rishi comes to visit him, and he serves Angira Rishi very nicely, and Angira Rishi asks him for a benediction, to take a benediction. He asks for a son. And the Rishi says, you'll get a son who will be the cause of your happiness and distress. He says, okay. So Rishi says, okay. And he has a son, and then as we know that out of envy, the co-wives, they poison the son. And then Maharaj Chitraketu, he's so materially distressed that after so much of angst, he has a son, and the son dies as a child, as an infant, the son dies. And at the time, Angira Rishi comes again, this time with Narad Muni. And then they start preaching about spirituality. And Angira Rishi says this, that I could have given you this knowledge the first time when I met you. But your heart was not open because there were so many material desires. In this case, it was only one. He wanted a son. But it saturated his heart. And he says, now that your heart is open, it has divested itself of these material desires, it is open to spirituality. And that is why, and of course, Maharaj Chitraketu was very quickly able to make spiritual advancements. So we can understand that as practicing devotees, as we do what we are supposed to do, we also be careful of not to do what we are not supposed to do. While we say yes to Krishna, we are also careful about not saying no to Krishna. So I'll take a pause over here. Like I said, we have a skit, so I'm going to request the participants of the skit to please come. And maybe if there are any questions at this point, I can take them, or we can take them later on after the second part of the lecture. Yes, Prabhu. So the question is that that detachment is part of jnana, right? So you're right. In one of the lectures, Maharaj says that we are not supposed to become anartha conscious. We are supposed to become Krishna conscious. Yet we study anarthas, and the reason we do is that how can we use it to advance in bhakti? So in itself, there is nothing like jnana. So the understanding is that a process is called everything is bhakti, but it's called something else based on where you stop it. So if you stop at the stage of karma, it's karma. If you stop at the stage of jnana, it's jnana. And if you take it to the process where it links you to Krishna, it is bhakti. Right? In our own Vaishnava tradition, there is so much of focus on jnana. Prabhupada wrote so many books. Our acharyas have written so many books. So that is jnana. But it is considered non-different from bhakti because it does not stop at that point. It's a means to an end. It helps? Okay, good. Okay. So the skit has been, for your pleasure, by a small group of devotees. We meet every Friday evening at our place for Bhakti Vriksha. And again, the purpose of this kit is what I called is edutainment. So education through entertainment. So the subsequent part of the discussion will be based broadly, not exactly broadly on the script. So we can start. So we'll need three mics and.
Congratulations, Prabhu. I hear that you have been recently initiated.
Yes, we have just been initiated by our Guru Maharaj. Isn't it wonderful?
Indeed, it feels wonderful to be connected to the disciplic succession.
I agree. It is a wonderful experience. What are your spiritual names, Prabhu?
My name is Peer Daya Seva Das.
PDS, for short. And my name is Parag Amit Das, one who goes after the nectar of eternality.
They are both wonderful names and suit you well.
Now we need to be firm and steady in our devotional practices and better assist our Gurudev in the best of our ability.
Yes, of course. We need to preach fearlessly. Go boldly where no devotee has gone before. Make this whole wide world Krishna conscious.
That is wonderful sentiment.
Well, we need to grow our roots before we become strong enough and give shelter to others. Remember, first achar, then prachar.
It is good that Srila Prabhupada didn't think like you. Else, you would be leading a miserable life of a software programmer.
Prabhu, you are such a mature devotee and have been preaching steadily for so many years. Please guide us.
Well, the essence of preaching is to understand different people where they are and gradually elevating them.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to make the entire universe Krishna conscious.
And his desire will happen. But different people are at different level of spirituality and we need to talk to them at that level. Our Srila Prabhupada was such an expert in preaching as per Kaldes Patra.
Could you explain some more, Prabhu?
Sure. A preacher is like an expert physician. The ultimate goal is to cure the patient, but the treatment depends upon where the patient is. The first step is to understand the person where it is. Then you can explain in such a way he can relate and make advancement.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Jagai Madai pure devotees in just a moment.
Yes. He also made the tiger of Jharkhand jungle to do Harinam. We cannot do that, Prabhu. We act as per our adhikar.
Thank you so much for your valuable advice, Prabhu.
My best wishes are with you. Hare Krishna.
Wow. What a wonderful guidance from such an experienced devotee.
Yes, but we need to pass on the mercy. Give the gift of Krishna consciousness to the whole world. Look. There is a poor soul caught in the cycle of birth and death. We need to help him. Follow me.
But.
Hare Krishna. How are you?
What? Who? What do you want?
Me? Nothing. I just come here to remind you that which you have forgotten.
Oh, did I forget to turn off my car's headlights again? Darn. Sorry about that. I'll go take care
of it. No, not that. I come to remind you about your relationship with Krishna.
Christina? That's a lie.
No, not that. Krishna.
Christina or Krishna? I had nothing to do with her. And for the record, I was way too drunk to remember anything.
No, not that. You don't understand. Krishna is the name of God and you have an eternal relationship with him.
Oh, so you're one of those born again preachers, are you? I have a life to live. Go away.
And what a miserable life you live. A life like that of cats and dogs.
For your information, I am more than happy with my cat and my dog. In fact, you are the one that looks like an unhappy and miserable person to me. Get away from me, you freak.
I'm sure you have a lovely life, sir. And you seem to be a self-assured, happy, and a successful person to me.
Darn right I am. Though I do seem to be running into a bit of a rough patch lately.
Oh, what a shame. But whatever it is, I'm sure you'll be able to take care of it.
Darn right I will. But I'm not getting any younger, and the competition out there is like a dog-eat-dog world with a dog's collar and a leash for good measure. Maybe I could use help from whichever god you all are selling.
Yes, exactly. Surrender to Krishna, and your life will become perfect.
What we mean is that there's a solution to your problem, and it's an easy one.
Hey, I'm all ears, man. Just to confirm, this is free advice, right? You're not going to ask for money later on?
No. Not at all, sir. What we are offering is not just free, but is very effective.
Now you have my interest. I'm all ears. But be warned, I don't have any time for religious mumbo-jumbo.
I truly appreciate your honesty, sir. What I'm going to tell you requires a bit of a leap of faith. So please hear me out with an open mind.
Hey, I am Mr. Open Mind. That is the key to my success. My mind is wide open.
His mind is so wide open that probably his brain has fallen out by now.
What did you just say?
Nothing. He's just appreciating your... Nothing. He's just appreciating your refreshing attitude. So, sir, what's your name?
Jason. Nice to meet you.
Same here, Jason.
Whatever.
So, Jason, the basis of our understanding is that everything in the world is interconnected.
Makes sense. Like the big circle of life. Hakuna Matata.
That's right. It's like if you mess with the environment, it will come back and mess with you.
Darn right it will. We're already paying for the damages done to our environment by our earlier generations.
And that is how it works with our activities. This is called karma. You do good things and you will see that good things are happening to you. You do bad things and you will see that bad things will happen to you.
So does that mean that there's someone just sitting around keeping track of everyone's activities? Because that would be one heck of a busy dude.
We just use how the environment is being impacted by our past and present activities, right? Similarly, everything in the world is interconnected between us, the past, the present, and the future.
But I can see and experience the changes in my environment. That's how I know they're all interconnected. What about this karma stuff?
And you can experience the same as far as karma is concerned. You do good things, and you will experience that good things are happening to you.
Okay, so what do I have to do to get on the right side of this karma guy?
Simple. Just do good things, and just avoid doing the bad things.
I can see that leap of faith you were talking about. But I think it makes sense. I will give it a try.
Thank you so much, Jason. Here's a very small book on karma. And also my card. Give me a call if you have any questions.
Thank you. I might just take you up on that.
Thanks, Jason. And do you like sweets? I have some delicious milk sweets. Absolutely free of cost. Just a token of thanks for being such a gentleman.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Same here, Jason.
pleasure is all yours.
Prabhu, what was that all about? Since when did we become karmakandis? You should have given him the pure Krishna Prema.
It was too premature to talk to him about that. Hey, but I've given him a book on karma and some prasadam. Hopefully when he reads it and calls us, we can encourage him from there.
I hope so. Yeah. There is another person. We'll talk to her. Hare Krishna.
Jai Mata Di.
What? Oh, demigod worshipper. So, have you heard of Krishna?
Of course, yes. The divine lover, the transcendental thief, he came to show us it's okay to have weaknesses like lusting around other women, stealing, lying. It's all okay.
What nonsense are you talking? Krishna has weaknesses? Have you lost your mind?
Me? Lost my mind? Look, I did not come here to talk to you. You did. And now you are insulting me.
I am not insulting you. You are insulting Krishna. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may act in a ways which may be beyond our understanding. But do not judge him by our standards.
I have full faith in my Durga Devi. Her character is spotless. She is above reproach. Jai Mata Di.
I don't know about that. I heard that she drinks blood and eats people alive.
Only of the demons to save devotees like us.
Exactly. That's how one can understand the activities of Krishna. He does everything for the pleasure of his devotees.
Okay. So you worship your Krishna. I worship my Durga Devi. You be happy, I be happy. Jai Mata Di.
Clearly an Alpamedasham. A person of very small intelligence.
Look, if you keep insulting me like this, very soon you will see the power of my not so small fist.
We really mean no disrespect, madam. In fact, we adore and respect Durga Devi. In fact, Durga Devi and Krishna are very closely connected.
Yes, they are. In Devi Puran, Vishnu is standing with folding hands in front of Ma Durga, asking for her protection. Jai Mata Di.
You seem to be a well-read person. Have you heard of the Bhagavad Gita?
Of course I have. In fact, I have read various commentaries by various people. I live my life by teachings of Gita.
Really? That was a shocker. How so?
Look, whatever I do is my karma. Whatever I get is my destiny. So I do my karma and enjoy my destiny. That's how I live my life by teachings of Gita.
That's Gita as you understand it.
Of course, those are my own realizations.
And that is in fact an aspect of the teachings of the Gita. But there are so many other valuable lessons in the Gita.
Like what?
About who we are, how to be happy, how to lead a successful life.
Ah, that is certainly of interest to me. Does Gita talk about Durga Devi?
Yes, it does. You mentioned that you have read many commentaries on Gita. Here. Please read this one. I promise it's an easy read.
Of course I will. Thank you. There is nothing to lose.
And here's my card. Please give me a call or email me if you have any questions.
Sure I will. Thank you.
So, you mentioned that you worship Durga Devi. Do you worship her daily?
Most certainly. I chant so many rounds for her every day in the morning. Jai Mata Di.
That is so nice. Have you heard of the Hare Krishna mantra?
Yes, I have. In fact, I have chanted it a couple of times.
That is great. May I offer you the Japamala? In addition to all the mantras you chant, please chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This will give you even more protection and ultimate peace and happiness. Here.
Thank you. I believe I will. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
What a messed up person. And why did you lie that? Bhagavad Gita talks about Durga Devi.
I did not lie about anything. Krishna does talk about the position of Maya. Hey, and we've given her the Gita. Hopefully when she reads it, she will also come to understand the position of Krishna.
And you told that chanting gives material success? That is not the purpose of chanting.
True. But better for her to take up chanting one way or the another. Hey, and isn't material happiness a part of spiritual bliss? So I wasn't completely wrong either.
I'm not entirely right either. But I got your point. It is good that I softened her up for you.
Yes, Prabhu. You had her beaten to a pulp. Hey, there seems to be another person. And she seems to be a devotee.
Yes, yes.
Come, let's go and have some refreshing Krishna Katha with her.
Sure.
Stand back.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, how are you?
Ecstatic! Feeling the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only by that, we can get the opportunity to associate with pure devotees like your good self, who are verily the holy Tirthas personified.
Newly initiated?
Yes. How did you guess?
Just a lucky guess. So what are you doing here?
We came here to spread the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to these poor karmis. And we have had few interesting conversations.
That's very nice. I'm sorry, I have to get this call.
Sure, Madam. Okay.
Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll call you in a few. So, where are we?
Sorry to say, Mataji. I noticed that you are chanting when you are on a phone call. Shouldn't we be focusing on the holy name while we chant?
Ideally so, but we have to be practical. The most important thing is we have to finish our rounds one way or the other. Anyway, how is your preaching going on?
Enlivening for us. It's so nice to see how each one of us, and in one way or the other, are trying to make progress.
Yes. Though this is a tough crowd here. I usually sell them some trinkets and beads. It's an easy sale and they get some Sukriti.
Mataji, I haven't seen you at the temple. Do you come there?
Sometimes. Especially when there's no one there. The devotee politics are tiring, so I try to stay clear.
Mataji, we host a weekly Namahatta program. It's on Friday evenings. There's a small group of devotees who meet and do Krishna Katha. Please do come.
That's interesting. But my Fridays are usually busy, but I'll drop in whenever I can.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Please do come. I also wanted to add that the whole discussion is centered around our personal challenges and how we inspire each other. It's a very non-judgmental setting. Oh. I personally have learned a lot from these discussions and realized that we do need each other to not just sustain but make progress on this path.
I do agree. I've been looking for something like this for quite a long time. Thank you for the invitation. I will definitely come.
And the prasadam is delicious.
I know it is. And I can honor to take it. So thank you very much for inviting. See you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And Prabhu, I think I handled that situation very well, right?
Yes, you did, Prabhu. You are such an expert. Now, are you ready to head back?
Sure. Hari Bol, our obeisances.
Hari Bol, such a pleasure to see nice Vaishnavas.
Prabhuji, we have been recently initiated. Please bless us, so that like you, we will serve our spiritual master with faith.
Yes, the biggest challenge is maintaining someone's faith. I know I went through all the challenges, but somehow I held on my Krishna consciousness.
Please tell us about your experiences, Prabhu. I'm sure they are all inspiring.
Yes, they are very inspiring. I know there are so many other devotees who depends on me. And I have I have so many other responsibilities. So, there are so many devotees who depends on me. And it's a big responsibility, but someone has to do it.
Thank you so much for your association, Prabhu. We will pray to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan that they continue to shower their mercy on you, that you constantly be engaged in serving the deities and the devotees.
Yes. Thank you. You have my blessings.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
And Prabhu, that Prabhu is like talking...
Don't say it. Don't even think of it.
Yes, you are right. We are so fortunate to have the association of devotees. And only by their mercy, we can ever hope to stay alive in our Krishna consciousness.
I agree, Prabhu. I feel envy. Every conversation that we've had is for our own benefit.
Yes, I think Krishna sent these souls our way only to realize our own mistakes and to be careful with our practices.
That is very true, Prabhu. I feel the reason we are conditioned is because we have so many defects and we are not even aware of them. But only by the study of scriptures, by association with devotees, and by the mercy of more advanced devotees, we can hope to make progress.
Yes, I think Krishna sent me to be with you because of that.
And I am eternally grateful to him for that.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.
So I'll quickly introduce our various cast members. PDS Prabhu is Ravi Prabhu. Parai Amit Prabhu, Akshay Prabhu. Jason Prabhu is Krog. And Jai Mata Ki is Shivani Mataji. And we have Anirudh Prabhu. And we have Sachin Prabhu. And Vijaya Mataji. So I think one thing that we can understand is that there are different levels of saying no to Krishna, and based on the analysis done by Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Bhakti Aloka, there are four levels in which we say no to Krishna. So this is also a pop quiz. So The first level, this is Jason's conversation. What do you think that level is?
Senses.
Any other thoughts, ideas? What level is it? So the first level is what is considered as just say no. So this is not really no to Krishna, because there is no awareness of Krishna. And there is no awareness of spirituality per se. The person is so absorbed in the material conception. In the second chapter, Krishna says, Bhogeshwari prasakta naam taya paharta chetesham vivasayatmika buddhi samadhavna vidhiyate. That there are people who are so much absorbed in Bhogeshwarya, in Bhog and Aishwarya, in enjoying and Aishwarya, in pursuit of opulences, taya paharta chetesham. The consciousness will never take to spiritual pursuits. Later on in the 16th chapter, the divine and demoniac nature, he elaborates a little bit more. That in the 13th verse he says that how does this mentality manifest? And he says, Ishvara aham aham bhogi, siddho aham balwan sukhi. That such a person says that I am God. Ishvara aham aham bhogi, I am the enjoyer. Siddho aham, I am perfect. Balwan, I am the strongest. Sukhi, I am happy. I am the happiest of the happy. So the reason Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is because of dushkroto, dushkrat utho, because of contaminations that come from past sinful activities, because of anarthas that come from past sinful activities, and the root cause for it is lack of Atma Gyan. That because they consider, so this is the conception of Atmavan Jagat Manyate. That as I consider myself, I consider the world to be. So I consider myself, I look at myself, I'm made of matter. I look at everybody around me, made of matter. And so I extrapolate and say that this whole world is nothing but matter. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says that Dehapatya Kalatra Desh Atma Shainasya Asat Swapi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Tash Pashyan Api Na Pashyati. That such people are Dehapatya Kalatra Desh. Deha is your body, Apatya is your children, Kalatra is wife, and Adesh means connected to. So Pramato, very very connected to Deha, Apatya, Kalatra. Why? Because they lack Atma Gyan. Because they lack this understanding that they are not the body but the soul. So in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, when Arjun surrenders to Krishna, what is the very first instruction that Krishna gives him? You are what? You are not the body. Natvayam jatunasham natam jene. Famous verse that he says that, you know, you're not the body, but the spirit soul. That is the basis for one developing a spiritual conception. So in the 16th chapter, Krishna, after talking about the demoniac nature, the last verse, he says how to fix it. He says, tasmak shastam pramanam te, karya karya vivasthitav, gyatva shastra vidhanukta, karma kartum iharasi. Tasmak, he says, therefore. So he is talking all about the qualities of the demoniac people. They think the world is a product of one's sex desire. There is nothing more than lust in the world. It's only an object of enjoyment. And how to fix it? So therefore, tasmak shastram pramanam te. That somehow or the else, they have to develop faith in the scriptures. Karya karya vivasthito. What to do and what not to do, they do it based on the understanding of the scriptures. And kartam, karma kartam iharasi. And that's how they will make gradual developments. So again, back to Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna talks to Arjuna about the fact that he is not the body but the soul, The very next verse, 2:13, very famous verse, Deno Svinata De Komaram Yovanam Jara Tatha Dehantra Prapti Ra Dhiras Tatrana Muyati. You see how Krishna is transitioning Arjun from a material to a spiritual conception. So he says, Deno Svinata De Komaram Yovanam Jara. So he's talking about the change of bodies. So in DC on the 4th of July, we have the Rath Yatra, and then we have a small set of stalls, and in front of generally the book distribution stall, we have the diorama of the changing bodies. I'm sure you have all seen that, and so many people will stop in front of that and look at it, and then you know one of us will go and say that where do you think you are? And then depending on where, they'll say here, and they'll say, you remember when you were here? Yes. So that is Krishna talking about Pratyaksh Praman, something that you can see yourself, Akshay's eyes, something that is right in front of your eyes. You see the changing body. You see that the body changing in yourself and in people around you. And then following that is Anuman. It says, but have you changed? Are you a different person? Were you a different person when you were 5 years old compared to when you were 25 years old, 35 years old? And they'll say, well, we are different to some extent, but we are the same. I have the same memories. I have the same conception of myself. So this is Anuman, that understanding that even though the body has changed, I have not changed. And then Krishna says that in the same way, at the time of death, the soul changes body. That is Shabda Praman. So we see how Krishna is taking Arjun and us from what we can empirically see to what we can deduce again empirically to having faith in his words. So we see this pastime of Mrigari. I'm sure you must have Jai Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai. So you've heard of the pastime of Mrigari. It's from the Skanda Puran, and it was actually, you can read it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's recited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sarvabhum Bhattacharya as part of the Atmanam verse explanation. And Mrigari is like a very cruel hunter, and he has this special skill of hunting animals in a way that they are incapacitated but not fully dead. So their death comes with a lot of suffering. And then Narad Muni comes and sees it, and then he goes to Mrigari and he says, why are you shooting the animals in this way? And he says, well, that's what I've learned from my father. It's a special skill that I have. And he's still so much taken by Narad Muni that he says, you know, you seem to be like a nice person, so you can take any of these animals that you want. And if you don't like them, I have more animals in my heart and skins, and you can take them also. And then Narad Muni introduces him to the concept of sin. And he says, do you realize that by doing those, you are incurring so much sin? So what is the next instruction that Narad Muni gives Mrigari? Anybody? What's the next instruction? Fully kill. So he does not say give up killing. He does not say chant Hare Krishna. He does not say become a pure devotee. So even fully killing is a sinful activity. But from more sin to less sin. And how does Mrigari react to that? He says, okay, but what else can I do? And then Narad Muni says, you break your vow. He says, but if I break my vow, how will I eat? So we see that Narad Muni, who is an expert preacher, takes him through the various levels gradually. And of course, because of the influence of Narad Muni, the advancement through the levels is very, very rapid. But you can see that Narad Muni is taking him from where Mrigari is, just say no. Because he wasn't even aware that he's doing sinful activities. He wasn't even aware of the spiritual conception. And Narad Muni introduced him to the notion of that there is something above everything that you empirically see. So this is the so to speak, the first stage or a category of people who just say no. Second category. What do you think is the second category? The Jai Mata Ki category. So you're all laughing so much in the play that... So the second category is saying no to yes to Krishna. So the first category is just say no. The second category is saying no to yes to Krishna. So these are people who are aware of their spiritual conception. They surrender, but not to Krishna. So in the 7th chapter, Krishna speaks about them. He says, Namam tushkita no moda prapadyante naradama maya partha jnana asurik bhava ashrita. These four kind of people. And he calls them dushkita no. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that they are kirtinos. Kirtino means they are doing pious activities. But they are dushkritino because their piety is misguided for various reasons. Either the intelligence is covered or they are too materially absorbed or they are irreligious or atheistic. So because of these various reasons, they do not surrender to Krishna. And Krishna says that he calls such people by different, not very complimentary terms, like alpamedishu, men, people of limited intelligence, mudhas, calls them foolish. In that verse, he said, Namam, what's the verse? Naham prakash sarvasya, naham prakash sarvasya yogamaya samavrita, muro yam nam ijanati, loko mam ajam avyayam. He says, for such people, I am covered by my maya. Because they do not surrender to me, I hide myself. And even though Krishna says that their faith is coming from me, but they are still, so he says, yapi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddha yanvita teyapi mam eva kaunteya yajante avidhi purvakam. So he says that they may be worshipping anya devata, shraddha yanvita, with faith, teyapi mam eva kaunteya, it's all coming from me, but yajante avidhi purvakam, that they are doing it incorrectly. And because they are doing it incorrectly, they will ultimately not be able to realize the true purpose of following the scriptures. Krishna says that eventually they will fall. He says, Aham sarvasya yagya naam bhokta cha prabhur eva cha na tu maam abhijanati tatve natas chavantite. That one who does not understand my position of being bhoktaram and yagya, the ultimate beneficiary of their sacrifices, so it's not a holding pattern. He says, natu mam abhijanati tatve natas. One who does not understand this tatva, what happens to them? Chavantite. That they will fall down. And that is because the modes of material nature by their own nature tend to pull us down. We may by effort get into the mode of goodness, it will pull us eventually to the mode of passion. And we may be in the mode of passion for a while, but it will pull us down into the mode of ignorance. So that's why Sukhdev Goswami says that endeavors in this path, they are shrameva hi kevalam. So dharma svanushtita pumsham vishvaksena kathasuya nautpadayed yadi ratim shrameva hi kevalam. So dharma svanushtita. So this is according to your swadharma. So this is varnashram dharma. Dharma svanushtita pumsham. But if it does not result in one developing one's Krishna consciousness, then it is shrameva hi kevalam. So how best to address that no? One is to understand that all the so-called enjoyments that we have out of pious activities, they themselves are temporary by nature. And Krishna says that abrahma bhuvana loka, one person only, abrahma bhuvana loka punaravritana arjuna mam upetya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. So he makes this point. So somebody might say that I might do pious activities and go to Swarglok or Janlok or Taparlok, Taplok or even Brahmalok. And Krishna says, Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka. From Brahmalok, all the lokas there are Punaravritana. They're basically caught in this cycle of birth and death unless you surrender unto me. And Krishna, at different points, you will see that he reaches out to such people to engage them on their terms. If somebody is looking for mukti, he says, come to me for mukti. In the Bhagavatam it is said that akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. That whether you are akam, sarvakam or mokshakam, whether you are a devotee, whether you are a karmi or whether you are a jnani, any of your conceptions, tivrena bhakti yogena, you will achieve it very quickly by the execution of bhakti yoga. Like in the fourth chapter, as soon as Krishna talks about himself, he says that janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata takta deham punarjanmam neti mam eti so arjuna. So a person who is looking to get liberation from this cycle of birth and death, he says the easy way to get out of it is just understand janma karma cha me divyam, and you will not have to take birth again. So in the various pastimes we see people who are kind of in this conception. In the Bhagavatam we see the Vedic Brahmins, right? They were performing the yagya, karmakand, but when Krishna asked for some prasadam, they said from some food, they said go away. They rejected Krishna. So this is people who are too much absorbed in karma. Or in Chaitanya Leela, we see Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, at least in the initial phase of the life, too much absorbed in jnana, that they did not really have attraction to Krishna. Or we see Sukhdev Goswami in his earlier conception, too much attached to the notion of Brahman. And that's why not very attached to Krishna until they come in the association of devotees. So Bhakti Vinod says that this is because of sukrotutha anarthas. This is because of anarthas that come from past pious activities. And what they result is, they result in clouding one's paratattva. So previous was atmatattva, that they don't understand who they are. This is paratattva, they do not understand who Krishna is. And that is why Krishna at so many places. Earlier when I, not very, very early, when I was reading Bhagavad Gita, I was thinking Krishna boasts so much. You know, he keeps saying, you know, I am so great and I am so wonderful, there's nobody more powerful than me. I was like, where's this whole modesty thing, you know, going? And then I realized that Krishna does it because we need it. We need to understand how great Krishna is. If we don't understand that, we will always be confused in terms of paratattva. When we understand how great Krishna is, then we understand how easy it is to surrender unto Him. The third category are those who say no while saying yes to Krishna. So these are practicing devotees. So these are devotees who have understood the notion of I am the soul, Krishna is God. They have developed the desire to establish a connection to Krishna, and because of various reasons, what they execute is not Shuddha Bhakti. They execute Mishrit Bhakti, devotion that is mixed with material desires. Again, in the seventh chapter, Krishna says, Chaturvidha bhajante mam ye jana sukritino Arjuna artho jigyasur artharti jnani cha bharadarshava. Talks about four kinds of people. They're all devotees, but they are mixed devotees. In some case, the bhakti is completely covered with material desires. That I need wealth, or I need knowledge. Or in some cases, the fourth, the jnani, the desire to know Krishna is there, but still, jnana, the desire for knowledge is there. So, this comes from what is known as apradhotha anarthas. So as we execute the process of bhakti, there are many angas in bhakti, and because of various offenses, whether it is offense to the holy name, offense to Vaishnava, offense to holy dham, offense in deity worship, because the various offenses, they manifest in us covering our saying yes to Krishna. And the no that we say to Krishna, it comes in three broad categories. The first is what is known as asatrishna. So asatrishna is that we still have a desire for material enjoyment. And even though we know it's temporary, even though we know that it ends taking us to a position not very conducive, but still we have that asatrishna. And what is the best way to address asatrishna? Any idea? So this is a discussion because we are all practicing devotees. What is the best way to address asatrishna? Dovetailing this. Anybody else? Higher taste. Vishaya mini vartante nirarasya dehinam rasuvarjam rasopiyasya param tishva nivartate.
Four regulative principles.
So four regulative principles are actually considered to be in the very first category. If you don't follow the four regulative principles, you are sinful. Right? So they are more just to stop us from just saying no. They are more in that category. Prabhu?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Tattva Vibhrama is the foundation issue, and then Asatrishna comes from that.
Yes.
So having proper understanding of Tattva,
yes,
absorbing oneself in that.
Yes, thank you. Sant Madhuri Kandamuni. Yes. So, very good answer. So yes, Asatrishna, a very practical way of addressing is through Yukta Vairagya. So you think of it in this way. There is asat and there is trishna. So think of it that you're a patient who goes to a doctor and says, I'm suffering from asat trishna. And the doctor says, give up trishna. And you say, not really possible. Too many desires. And then the doctor says, give up asat then. And you say, I wish I could, but challenges. So then what the doctor will say is, let me coat this asat with sat for you. And that way, you don't have to give up your trishna, you don't have to give up asat, but you will follow the path of sat. Practical. You know, somebody very much attached to puri aloo, can't give it up. Right? So my deities eat a lot of puri aloo. Right? And that's how I'm dovetailing that. So, Rupa Goswami, he gives the formal definition of this in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasakta siya vishayan yathartam upayunchita nirbandha krishna sambande yukta vairagyam uchyate. That you do not give up the material desires, but nirbandha krishna sambande. That without attachment specifically to yourself, you take it in conjunction with Krishna. You like eating good food, offer it to Krishna and honor good prasadam. You like good music, enjoy kirtan. I remember this is very, very early on. We were trying to preach to some couple. We had gone to their house, and very opulent settings. The house was really opulent, expensive car, everything very, very expensive. And, I was looking at their house and I was thinking, Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam, that, you know, very, very attached. And, you know, Krishna's mercy, they became devotees, and, you know, we went to their house again after many years, almost like after 10 years, we went to their house. And the deity room one of the most opulent deity rooms I have seen. You know, their altar was all gold trimmed, and the deities were wearing really resplendent dresses. The arti paraphernalia all silver, and you know, and I was thinking anasaktasya vishya nithartham upayunjita, that they had this desire, they had this strong propensity for doing everything opulently, and they were still doing it, but now instead of doing it for themselves, I didn't see the rest of the house, but at least the deity room, it was really, really opulent. So they were now offering it to Krishna. So one is asatrishna. The second reason is what is known as sadhana sadhya brahma. The confusion about practices in devotional service. That is getting up early in the morning really that important? Should I chant my round even if I am feeling sleepy? Should I get a full day of sleep? And then should I chant? Should I eat too much, eat too little? What should, you know, when should I read, when should I not read? So many aspects of Vaidhi Bhakti and just confusion about it. And in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is six items, simple items are given, that Anukulasya Sankalpa, Pratikulasya Varjanam, Rakshasyatiti Vishwaso, Goptravate Varnam Tata, Atma Vikshepa Karpanya Sadvida Sharanagati. That simply Anukula Sankalpa, that make this determination that you will do what is favorable, Pratikulasya Varjanam, that you will avoid doing things that are unfavorable, Rakshasyatiti Vishwasam, have faith that Krishna will take care of you, Goptravate Varanam Tata, that consider Krishna to be your Lord and Master, Atmanikshep, surrender everything to Krishna, Karpanya, in a mood of humility. So, Vaidhi Bhakti is performed externally. So that is why all these instructions are given to us to follow. It's not really expected that we suddenly be at that stage internally. But the whole notion of Vaidhi Bhakti is that we do what we are told to do. What we offer in Vaidhi Bhakti really is not what we do, but the sincerity with which we do it. And the third is what is known as Virodhi Vishaya Vibhrama. That as we progress in devotion, we read more and more, we get different kinds of realizations, and then we start getting what we consider to be contradictory realizations. That is this the truth? Is that his truth? Was Krishna in Vrindavan different from Krishna in Dwarka? And who should we worship? Should we take the mood of this particular devotee or that devotee? And really speaking, by following the various angas of bhakti, we can develop conviction and a deeper understanding. So this comes more from inside, even though it is sadhana, but it comes even more from inside. The study of Bhagavatam is very much recommended. Sutta Goswami, right at the beginning, he says, Shanvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridayantasti Abhadrano Vidunoti Sudhortsatam. So by studying the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seva Bhagavati Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, that bhakti will come in our heart. The fourth stage is saying no after saying yes to Krishna. So this is the position of very, very advanced devotees who have said yes to Krishna completely, but for various reasons have said no to Krishna. Example is that I was talking about the pastime of Maharaj Chitraketu, and later on he becomes Vritasur. When Parikshit Maharaj was talking about Vritasur and he realizes he's a devotee, and that also a very high level devotee, he's completely abased. And he says this verse, Siddha naam api, mukta naam api siddha naam, narayana parayana. Mukta naam api siddha naam, narayana parayana. Sudurlaba prashanta atma, kotishvapi mahamuni. And he says, he goes through this whole line that of millions of souls, few may take to spirituality. Of the millions of souls who take to spirituality, a few of them will understand the position of Krishna. And few of them, then he says, mukta naam api siddha naam. Of those who are mukta, who are free of the cycle of birth and death. Siddha naam, perfect. Narayana parayana. Those who take shelter of Lord Narayana are very, very rare. Kotishvapi. Out of millions of such souls, a few may take to the notion of Narayan, Barayan. And then he says, how did he fall? How did such an advanced person who is one in a million, Bahu Nam Janma Namante, Jnanavan Man Prapadyante, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Sa Mahatmasu Durlabha. How did he actually come to this position? And it's understood that it's because of Prabhupada's talking about Madhuri Kadamni, talks about Tarangarangani, that at an advanced stage of devotion, the devotion begins to, Bhakti Krishna begins to reward us. He rewards us by three things. By puja, labh and pratishta. That you become worshipable, you gain and you become famous. So we see how Romaharshan, a very advanced devotee, his name Romaharshan means that Prabhupada explains was that his hair would stand at an end when he would do Krishna Katha. It's very at a bhava stage. But he's sitting on the Vyasthan, 88,000 stages, at Naimishanana sitting in front of him. Lord Balram enters, and everybody gives obeisances but him. And not because he didn't understand the position of Lord Balram, but he was like, I'm sitting on the Vyasthan, I'm representing Lord Narayan. So I'm also great. And because of that, he fell down. Or we see the case of Jai Vijay, that perfected devotees, residents of Vaikuntha Lok, reside guarding Krishna's innermost chamber, but yet they refuse Lakshmi Devi entrance, they refuse the four Kumaras entrance, and because of that, they fell. And similarly, we see the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, that at a very advanced stage, he took to Ekantir Bhaktir, he took to Bhakti in isolation, giving up the association of devotees. And eventually, he also fell. So for such persons, Krishna takes care of them. Because they are at such a stage that they have completely surrendered to Krishna, Krishna says, don't worry, ananyas chintayantas maam, ye jana paryupasate, tesham nitya bhukta naam, yoga kshema vahamyaham. He said, ananyas chintayantas maam, that, you know, they are constantly thinking of me. And he says, I personally, yoga shema vahamyam, that I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. So shiparam bhavati dharmatma shashvak shantim nigachati konteya pratijani name bhakte pranshati. That my devotees will never perish. They're so close to Krishna that even if they veer off the course, Krishna corrects them. And in the very rare case that Krishna does not correct them, there is somebody even more powerful than Krishna who comes in and helps them. And that is Krishna's devotees. In Padma Purana, it is said, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. That of all the kinds of worship, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param, the best is to worship Lord Vishnu. Tasmat parataram devi, better than that. So this is conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati Devi. So tasmat parataram, even better than that is tadiyanam samarchanam. Tadiyanam is one who is very dear to Krishna. One who is a devotee of Krishna. So we see the case of Ambarish Maharaj. One of the rare cases where Lord Vishnu said, jao, jao, can't do anything for you, go away. Right? And who does he go to? He goes to Durvasa Muni, he goes to Ambarish Maharaj. And then Amrish Maharaj says, sab theek hai, okay. Right? And then Krishna forgives him. So at the end of the day, even though we speak about it in terms of stages, but actually all these stages are there within us. One may be more prominent than the other, but there are times when we say, just say no. We are so much in the material conception that we are not even, we don't allow ourselves to be aware of the spirituality. At the other time, we are so much in the mood to enjoy that we may want to enjoy piously, but not along with Krishna. Or sometimes, and this is probably the most prominent stage for us, that we say no while saying yes to Krishna. That, you know, while we are trying to establish our spiritual relationship with Krishna, we are saying no because of various reasons. So the takeaway for us is that Krishna has, through the scriptures, it's Prabhu, time for next session, please end now. You have spoken way too much. So the understanding is that the acharyas have given us this the stages, not really to judge others, but to help others also, but mostly to help ourselves. That they have given us, just like an expert physician, they give us the symptoms. Based on the symptoms, they say this is the disease. Based on the disease, they say this is the cure. So we have, based on the symptom, we can understand where we are at a particular given point of time and how we can apply ourselves to remediating it. So I'll end here and I'll see if there, I'll maybe take three questions at the most. Yes, Mataji. Oh, there's a mic coming.
As we have seen in the skit for the demigod worshippers, sometimes people perceive it as like devotees are exclusive and we don't like consider other demigods, and especially when they're new and we want to invite them for Bhakti Vriksha, it becomes a little difficult for them, for me to connect to them.
Thank you. So the understanding is that we are exclusive because we are trying to develop a relationship only with Krishna, and Krishna says, "Mam ekam sharanam raj." So because Krishna demands exclusivity, we are exclusive. But it does not mean that we project it on them. So one of the things that we have to understand that even demigods are devotees of Krishna. So we connect them in that conception. Like Maya Devi is the external energy of Krishna. And Shishi Radha Madhav Ki Jai, Radha Damodar Ki Jai. So there is no disrespect. In fact, the devotee, the devas, they actually feel glorified when they are connected with their worshipable Lord. So depending on the stage of the person that you're speaking to, so like you saw in the skit, the person said, in addition to this, worship that. So that is good at the beginning stage. And then there some stage says that this includes this already. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra includes all the mantras. And by that time, the reciprocation from Krishna for that Nishta Bhakti already appears. Is it okay? Any other questions, comments, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very thought-provoking lecture, thank you. Just an addition to the previous question. You mentioned in your lecture that eventually people who are doing demigod worship, eventually they will fall, they will not get delivered. Is it not a step in the right direction and we'll get Krishna's mercy? And it's said, right, you take one step, Krishna takes 10 steps. So how do we understand?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. So the Vedas obviously speak a lot about worshipping of the devas. And the reason they speak is that through the worship of devas, one then understands what is the position of deva with respect to Krishna And then either worship them in relationship to Krishna or worship Krishna. But if one simply stays in that mood, if one simply says, like at Diwali time they have, right, Lakshmi Ganesh, right? Lakshmi without Krishna. And Ganesh, nobody knows how he came dirty, but it's like Lakshmi Ganesh, right? And, you know, they think that, you know, Ganesh will remove all impediments to Lakshmi Devi. Right? So I get a lot of wealth. If you, as long as you stay in that conception, the fall is inevitable. Because, firstly, whatever you get is temporary by nature. It'll come and go. And even if you are able to, even if you are able to accept that, just staying in that mode of satogun without being connected to Krishna, it requires a lot of nishtha. You know, being a pakka Brahman is very difficult. Being a Vaishnava is easy, because Krishna is chalta hai, right? You know, whatever way you want to do is chant the Maha Mantra. It's okay. But if you start doing mantras to worship devas, not many people do it now, but if you do it, you'll see they're very prescriptive. That you have to do it at a particular time of a day, and you have to be clean, you know, facing a direction. So they're very, very prescriptive. So very difficult to sustain that mood over a extended period of time. That's why Krishna says that the fall is inevitable there. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the lecture. I have a question, adding on to Prabhu's question. I can take an example of the president. Meeting a president, you need to go through many people to meet the president. So, like, don't you have to do the same thing to go to Krishna, to go through many demigods, and is it the same process?
Thank you. It's a very good question. Yes, you're right. And that's why the scriptures, the Vedas, they give us that path of pravritti, that you go through the blessings and the mercy of the various demigods, you reach Krishna. You know, but there is also the back door, the shortcut, right? And that is through the mercy of Guru and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So so I don't know how much you haven't spent a lot of time on this world, let alone India, but you know, in India, if there is a person who's very highly placed, so you can of course go through the person's line of hierarchy, or you can try and develop a relationship with the person directly. You on Diwali, you knock at the person's house and say, Sarji laddu aapke liye, these are laddus for you, right? And what's he going to say? He's going to say, thank you for the laddus, right? He knows why you're there. He knows that you're there for some advantages. But just the fact that you're approaching in a mood of humility, that, you know, on various festivals or functions, and this is very common in India, you know, people go to people who are high up, and they'll go with sweets, and they will go with sweet words or something like that, and they do end up developing a relationship. So, we are in the neopotism path, right? What we do is that we try to get the graces of Srimati Radharani. And then Srimati Radharani goes and recommends us to Krishna. And then Krishna says, not him, he's a rascal. Look at all the things he has done. And then Radharani will say, don't worry about it. At least he's coming. And Krishna says, no, look at it. Previous life, he was an asura. Radharani will say, no, don't worry about it. And then finally, after some time, Krishna will say, Acha Baba, okay. Right? So we follow the Pushti Mark, the path of mercy. And that is why the essence of what we offer to Krishna is our heart. We don't have a lot of austerities. We don't have a lot of wealth. We don't have a lot of knowledge. So we are short of all of that. The only thing that we have is the little bit of love that we have in our heart. That's what we offer to Krishna. Yeah, that helps. Okay. My apologies, Prabhu, for taking more time. Thank you very much.